On the Epiphany, we celebrate that occasion when the Magi came to visit Jesus, and Jesus was revealed to the Gentiles, that is, the non-Jews, and the Magi were the first of them. And we often call these three Magi the wise men, but what made them wise? Well, first, wisdom means that we find God in our work. I think there's a temptation, as I mentioned this past week, there's a temptation to think of ourselves as finding God here in the church, but not finding God out in the world. But yet, look at what Scripture says. Where did Moses encounter God for the first time? He was out tending sheep when he spoke from the burning bush, doing his daily chores. What was Peter doing? Peter was cleaning his nets after going fishing when he encountered God. What about Matthew, the tax collector? He was sitting at his table collecting taxes when Jesus pointed at him and said, "Come, follow me." These wise men were astronomers, and they were simply studying the stars when they saw a new star, which they thought to be symbolic of a new king. We find God not just at church, brothers and sisters, but we find God in our daily activities. You know, many men have shared with me inside and outside confessional how difficult work can be, and I'm sure it's true for the ladies as well on a different front. But you have the gossip at work, you have the bad jokes, the people who talk about, perhaps even talk about our faith negatively. Those are opportunities to encounter Christ, yet we give them up so easily. We're too afraid to confront somebody about, you know, saying something bad about the faith or about their language or about their gossip. And those are opportunities to encounter Christ and to actually bring Christ to another person. And you guys are missing those opportunities over and over again. We have to remember that God is seeking us out. He wants us to encounter Him constantly throughout the day. How many opportunities are we neglecting? Second, wisdom means that even while God reaches out to find us, we must also respond by searching for Him. God is searching for you. He is trying to reveal Himself to you constantly throughout the day. But we too have to search for Him. Notice that these wise men, these astronomers, they weren't given a direct line to where Jesus was. They weren't given a map or a GPS. They actually had to kind of go in search of this newborn king. In fact, they go to Jerusalem first and they ask Herod about him. And he doesn't know, so he refers him to the scribes and the Pharisees who say, "Well, the new king's supposed to be in Bethlehem." So then they go to Bethlehem searching for him. It'd be nice if God told us the direct route, but so often He wants us to go through the searching. Yesterday I went on, attended for a little while what's called a Quo Vadis retreat. It means in Latin, "Where are you going?" And it's a discernment retreat for men who might be thinking about the priesthood. It's out at the Spiritual Life Center. And on this retreat, the young men have a opportunity to walk with a priest and ask him questions, perhaps hear his own vocation story. We call it an Emmaus walk. And I was walking with a gentleman who's in college. And he was so full of turmoil because he didn't know what God wanted him to do. He was dating a young lady, who, very nice Catholic young lady, who they've talked about getting married, having children together. But he's also experiencing perhaps this call to the priesthood. And he said to me, I remember right where we were walking through the cemetery there next to the Spiritual Life Center, and he said, "Why can't God just tell me what He wants me to do?" And the reason is this, and I learned it through my own vocation, that if God tells you what the end game is, what do? We go off and we go direct towards it, and we do it our own way, and we don't go through that whole process of searching. And it's in the searching that we discover God and we discover our spiritual lives and we discover and learn how the Holy Spirit speaks to our hearts. Pastor Michael Davidson once proposed the question, what if wise men had been wise women instead? And he said this, they would have asked for directions immediately. And on commencing their trip, which they would have allowed plenty of time for, they would have helped deliver the baby, clean the stable, and make a casserole for the Holy Family, and brought cute little outfits for the baby Jesus to wear on his trip home. We all need to ask for directions, all joking aside. And in searching for God, he's the only one who can provide us with those directions. Searching for God, I think a lot of times, is like trying to find the right spouse. I mean, it is a rare occasion that the first young lady that a man dates, he marries. It happens. And it's pretty cool when it does. But a lot of times, young people have to date around, right? They have to figure out who they like. I talked to a young man yesterday who said, well, Father, I date a girl for about 2 months and then I break up with her. I just said to him, I said, well, is that very fair to her? And he said, well, Father, not when you put it like that. But at the same time, he's young enough that he's just trying to find out, you know, what he likes in a companion, in a friend, and somebody who might potentially someday be a wife. Just like a young person goes around dating, searching for the right qualities in a future wife, we have to search with God. That means varying how we pray, searching how when we pray, different styles of prayer, whether it be adoration or praying at home in a quiet room, praying with images, praying with music, searching God out, dating him, if you will. I often tell people that, you know, your weekly holy hour here at the parish, which all of you should have, that's like your date night with God, where you set all the distractions aside, you get a babysitter for the kids, and you say, I'm going to concentrate on this one relationship. Thirdly, once they find him, notice that the wise men leave in a different direction. It says at the very end of the gospel that having found him and offering their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, they had been warned in a dream and left by a different route. Brothers and sisters, when you encounter Jesus Christ, it often challenges you to leave by a different route, to go a different way from that point on. It's called conversion or metanoia. It's the Greek word that means turning around. I think a lot of us are afraid to encounter Christ. We're afraid to search Christ out because we know that it's going to require change in us. It's going to require you to leave by a different route. But when we encounter the Christ child, just like these wise men, our lives should go in a different direction than it did before. In fact, brothers and sisters, every time you go to Mass, if you are really listening to the Word of God, taking it into your heart, there should be some element of conversion going on. You should leave this church and go in a different direction. Maybe to Dunkin' Donuts instead of home. But something should change, right? God encounters us, brothers and sisters, every day in our daily activities, not just here in church. And he's reaching out to you, inviting you to follow a shining light in your own lives, the hope of something new. And when he reaches out to you, he issues you the same invitation that he gave to Moses, the same invitation he gave to Peter, the same invitation he gave to Matthew, the tax collector. It is the same God and the same Holy Spirit, And the same invitation that is given to you that was given to all these great men in the history of Scripture. And that is to seek Him with all your heart, using all your resources for as long as it takes to find Him. And when you have found Him, to undergo a change, to allow Him to reshape you and to send you in a different direction.